Okay, now we want to make our qualitative argument a little bit more quantitative. And so we want to compute the statistical error on our estimator of the average value of A at temperature, inverse temperature, beta 1. Since it is the ratio to mean values, we recall the general expression for the error on the ratio, so on the variance of the estimators. And so we have, this is 1 over small n, which is the number of iteration. Then we have the ratio between the squares of the average values. Then we have the average value of O square. This will be the important quantity. And then I've added also 2 tau, which is the result of the autocorrelation time. Doesn't play any role, so effectively we can just think of independent measurement if we like. So this is the expression. The relevant term, as we said, is the average value of O square. So we rewrite O square, replacing A and B with our expression. So A is A times E2 minus delta beta H, while B is E2 minus delta beta H. And this way we obtain the expression which is in the middle of the page. At this point, we do some rewriting of this expression. First thing, we just rewrite the average value of E times E2 minus delta beta H computed at beta 0 using our reweighting formula. So that can be re-expressed as A1 times the average value of E2 minus delta beta H. So this is the first expression. So we replace everything inside. And then we obtain an expression in which we can take E2 minus delta beta H on the left. All terms are on the left. And now we want to rewrite this term. And for this purpose, we define a new quantity which is called beta 2. So a new temperature, inverse temperature, beta 2, which is defined as 2 beta 1 minus beta 0. What is the meaning of beta 2? Okay, and we can visualize this temperature if we know that beta 1 is the average of beta 0 and beta 2, which tells us that on the beta line, beta 0 and beta 2 are two equidistant temperatures on the opposite sides of beta 1. So there is beta 0, then beta 1, and then beta 2 on the other side, same distance as beta 0 and beta 1. From this, you can easily see that you have two relations, that beta 2 minus beta 1 is delta beta, and beta 2 minus beta 0 is 2 delta beta. Of course, if you don't visualize the relative positions of these three inverse temperatures, you just use the algebra to get these two relations. And this allows us to write any average value at temperature beta 2 as the ratio. We use again our reweighting formula as the ratio of B times E2 minus 2 delta beta H computed at temperature beta 0 divided by the same quantity without B, so the exponential of minus 2 delta beta H. So we use this expression to simplify the average value which appears in the definition of O square. So we eliminate in practice this factor, which is inside E2 minus 2 delta beta H, and we replace it with the same value outside. And so we get the formula, if you look carefully, which is at the top of page 4 by doing this replacing, where the first term is now computed at temperature beta 2. The first term is not very much relevant. If you look at it carefully, is kind of a relative variance, and it's a smooth function of beta 1. So it doesn't change very much if we vary beta 1. The relevant term that controls the error is the ratio of the two mean values which appear on the right in the equation, which is at the top of page 4. So we rewrite those two average values in terms of free energies. And for that, we use the expression that we had derived at page 1 for the free energy differences, when we want to compute the free energy at two different points. So we have these two expressions, and this gives us a final formula for the error, which is in the middle of the page. And we see that the relative error, so the ratio between sigma squared and the average value of A at temperature beta 1 squared, is equal to 1 over m. Then there's a factor which contains the average value of temperature beta 2, which is a kind of variance of the observable and does not play much of a role. Then there is the relevant one, which is the exponential of capital F, which is a quantity written in terms of free energies. And then there is the autocorrelation time. The relevant term that controls the error is the exponential of the capital F. So now we want to rewrite this term in a different form. So capital F can be rewritten using the fact that the energy is the derivative with respect to beta of beta F, and C hat is minus dE over d beta. So the first observation that we make is that the integral of E between beta 0 and beta 1 can be written as beta 1 f of beta 1 minus beta 0 f of beta 0. So that capital F can be written as the sum of two integrals. Now we want to replace the integrals over the energy with integrals over the specific heat. And for this purpose, we do an integration by parts. So let's see how it works for the integral beta 0, beta 1. The other is the same, you just have to replace beta 0 with beta 2. So here we introduce inside the integral the derivative with respect to beta of beta minus beta 0. And the derivative is of course 1. But then we do the integration by part. There is one term outside, which is of course the value of the integral computed at the two boundary values, beta 1 and beta 0. Beta 0 cancel, beta 1 gives a contribution, which is the one which remains here. And then we have an integral with respect to delta to d beta of c hat times beta minus beta 0. The same transformations can be done for the other integral, just replace beta 0 with beta 2. And in this way, you get the relation for capital F in terms of integral of c hat. Note that the boundary terms cancel one with the other, simply because beta 1 minus beta 0 has opposite sign with respect to beta 1 minus beta 2. So they are opposite. And so when you sum the contributions, the boundary contributions of the two integrals, they simply cancel. So now we have shown that capital F is an integral of the specific heat. And moreover, we can easily show that capital F is a positive function. So for instance, let's consider a case in which beta 1 is larger than beta 0. So beta 2 is larger than beta 1. So you immediately realize that the first integral, the integral between beta 0 and beta 1, is positive, because c hat is positive. It's a theorem that the specific heat is positive. So also c hat, which differs by kT squared, is positive. And beta minus beta 0 is positive in the integration domain. For the second integral, you just switch the two boundary values, and this way you get a minus sign, but you also reverse beta minus beta 2, so you rewrite it as beta 2 minus beta, and in this way you get a second minus sign, the two minus signs cancel, and so you are left with a plus sign. So you get the expression which is written at the end of page 4, and here the second integral is again a positive quantity because c hat is positive, and beta 2 minus beta in the integration domain from beta 1 to beta 2 is again a positive quantity. So we have the sum of two positive quantities, and in this way you realize that F is a positive quantity. So this expression tells us where the problem lies. F is an integral of the specific heat, so it's positive, but also extensive. So this means that the error increases exponentially with the number of particles, with the size of the system. And so it's immediate to see that this error increases very fast with the number of particles. Now, to understand how to go further, let's expand everything for delta beta small. Let's assume that beta 1 and beta 0 are close, which means that also beta 2 and beta 0 are close, so that we can replace C hat of beta with C hat of beta 0 everywhere. So we do this replacement. The integrals can be done easily because C hat now is a constant, goes outside of the integrals, and we can do the integration exactly. Note that C hat of beta 2 can be replaced with C hat of beta 0. They are the same, apart from terms of order delta beta. So the two integrals give exactly the same contribution. And now we see that capital F for small delta beta is simply C hat times delta beta squared. Now we immediately see what is the condition to have a small error. We want that C hat times delta beta squared is much smaller than 1, which tells you that delta beta in absolute value should be much smaller than 1 divided by the square root of C hat. And you see here that this is the same condition that we obtained when we were discussing our qualitative argument. If this condition is valid, if delta beta is much smaller than 1 over C hat beta 0, you go back to the qualitative argument and you see that this implies that the distributions at beta 0 and beta 1 strongly overlap. They are really one on top of the other. It is important to realize that the error that we have computed here is valid only if sigma squared divided by the relative is very small. So it's an asymptotic result. And in practice, one never uses it to compute errors in the reweighting method. So for the reweighting method, the method of choice is always the jackknife, which works independently of the number of iterations. It's a robust method. Even if the number of iterations is not large, if the number of independent configuration is not large. And the second thing that we must remember, that we discuss here the error, but there is also a question of bias. The estimates that we obtain using the reweighting method are strongly biased, and the bias is also proportional to the exponential of capital F. I don't do the calculation, but that is the result, which means that we have to take into account the bias in these cases. And the main advantage of the jackknife method is that it takes into account the leading term in the bias. So the leading term in the bias is already taken into account. So this is a good thing in this case in which the bias may not be completely negligible. The same calculation can be done for the quantity which appears in the free energy differences. So in the quantity which is minus the logarithm of the average value of E to minus delta beta H. And this is trivial calculation. You just use the error propagation formula. And if you assume that data are independent, so that we don't have autocorrelations, you get an easy formula, which is written here, that tells you that the variance is 1 divided by the number of iterations, of course, and then there is a factor, which is the exponential of capital F minus 1. Again, the error is controlled by the function capital F, and again, the estimates can be reliably estimated only if delta beta is sufficiently small, so that capital F is close to 0. In this case, it's easy to compute the bias that we get. Assume that the data are independent, you just have to use the formula that we had derived. I don't do it. But you can easily show that the bias is controlled again by the exponential of capital F. Again, the bias is large unless delta beta is small.